Hey, hello, hello, beautiful people. This is Sherry, and I have had one special guest on at a time before, but today we have two special guests. I'm so excited. I'm here in the middle of a wonderful weekend slumber party with Rosemary Wotolo-Tromer, who I know you know from our Secret Agents, and Allison Luderman, who I've shared some of her poetry with you along the way. So it's like these two, like, special guests. And hello, welcome you guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So as often happens, as you guys know, I like to just do these spontaneously. And this one was a little less spontaneous because we were sitting around this morning, we're having our coffee, we're in Allison's beautiful home, and we started talking about how we show up for one another in times of loss. And I know, you know, this is a big topic, but it felt really important to me. I said to them, can I just turn on the recorder for the Love Gram? And being the types of beautiful people, they said,
let me play Wordle first.
This morning. Okay.
No.
All right. So here's the thing. I'll just start this off, and then I'd love for you guys to chime in, just as you were doing. So I've been facilitating these groups within Brendon Burchard's world, and I call it Grief and Growth. And one of the big topics yesterday in our group was people were talking about all the kinds of losses and grief that they go through, and people abandon them. Nobody's there. They feel just incredibly alone. And so this was the topic that we were just talking about. And I wanted to bring this to you because, you know, we're always talking about how to have meaningful relationships and how to connect and how to really, truly be authentic and present with people. And none of us, as far as I know, most of us were not taught how to be with each other when things are really hard. And so that's just how I'd like to. And Allie, maybe I'll turn to you. You know, no need to say anything personal, but you were talking about an experience.
Yeah, being with somebody in grief, how it brings up so much vulnerability. Because if they lost, say, the person that's most important to them, the person that they cannot live without, that means that I could lose my person who I cannot live without, and whose loss would change me forever. I mean, you know, we all have losses. I've lost friends, I've lost people. But, you know, to lose the central person in your life is really a terrifying idea. And those of us who are lucky enough to have somebody in our life that feels that central, it's a terrifyingly vulnerable place to be because they're mortal.
Yeah. I really appreciate that because it does bring in this place of compassion, right? So, and I think this is one of the things. So it's like if anybody's listening and maybe you're going through, you know, a loss of any kind, you know, a death, illness, a divorce, empty nest, you know, loss of job, loss of identity. There's so many, and it feels like people aren't able to show up for you. One of the reasons might be that sense of And on the other end of it, one of the things that I would love if you feel like speaking about it, Rosemary, was when you were talking about the receiving of messages and sometimes when people try and maybe it lands a little prickly or...
Well, I was saying that I didn't have that experience that people didn't know that I needed help. You know, like I actually received so much help, an astonishing, overwhelming, it turned out just right amount of help. You know, even though it felt like way too much, I couldn't imagine even one person stopping sending all that love. But the and the way that love showed up, it showed up as, you know, people sending gifts and people sending letters and people showing up at the door and, you know, just making food. And so sometimes, though, when people would send a letter, they would say things intending to be helpful, right? Like, and they would say things like, you'll feel beauty again, you'll see beauty again, you'll laugh again. And I would have this little prickle, like, I see beauty now. I laugh now.
Yeah.
And then I would just, it was luckily, I think, very easy for me to just translate anything anyone said as, I love you. I knew for a fact there was not one person who was sending me a letter to be cruel or to, I knew everyone, the whole reason they had reached out was to say, I care about you. You know, I know this is hard. So, and I think it helped me to know that there was nothing they could say that would have been the right, not one thing they could say that would be the right thing. So then they say something because they have to say something. And I know actually for a fact that a lot of people didn't write a letter because they didn't know what to write.
Yes.
And actually I know a lot of people didn't write me a letter because they were intimidated because I'm a word person.
Right.
Mm. Wow. So they were afraid that they would write something wrong. Mm. And I would always say, you know, even you just telling me you thought about sending me a letter is just right.
Oh.
You know, that I just needed to, you know, and I knew also, by the way, that the most important thing of all, which I don't think I would have known this otherwise, was just somehow I was very aware of people sending love.
Wow.
I never doubted it. And I felt it. I felt it constantly. In fact, I had visions about it. You know, I had a vision of this red light just being shown into me, like this radiant, brilliant red laser focused light going straight to my heart and just kind of infusing me with love. I know it's because of all those people, you know, sending love to me, and it changed me. So now I do that too for people. You know, I just think about people I know who are suffering or grieving, and I know that it's important to send them a letter or whatever, but I also just make a very intentional time to send them love because I know how much it matters.
Oh, Rosemary. Oh,
even if they don't know that you're doing it, right? Even if they're strangers, you know? Yeah. Even if it's somebody in Ukraine or, you know, it's just to send love to someone. No, I really believe it matters because I felt it.
That is, oh my gosh, thank you. Wow. Wow. I mean, and I think this just underscores, and I thank you guys so much, because I know this is not an easy topic, and...
No, I laughed at you when you said you were going to do a love grab.
Something laden and charming about grief.
Well, and thank you to you listening, because I know you, and I know your heart, and I know that the reason that you're here listening is because you really care about the people in your life, and you care about your own life. And it's something that, you know, I just personally feel like we need to talk about even more. I mean, it's a topic that, you know, it reminds us all, like, even now, like, it just reminds me, like, I feel so freaking lucky to be here, you know, and to be here with people I love, and we don't know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you guys you always hear me saying this, right? It's like, say it now, celebrate now, do it now, because our days are numbered for all of us. And so before we get too out of this particular vein of thought, I guess what I was hoping that we could also share is just, I know there's not the right thing to say. In fact, you know, nothing's the right thing to say often. But like, what are some ways that have really supported you each when you've been going through a loss or a grief?
You know what I think is a right thing to say? Sometimes, I don't know, I want to hear your opinion, Rosemary, but to encourage the grieving person to talk about the person they lost.
Yeah.
I think that, well, my sister-in-law is a grief counselor, and she said grieving people need to praise, and that has just stuck with me. And I tell that to my classes when people, a lot of times, you know, my memoir students come with grief and they want to write about a loss. And I'm like, what was beautiful and unique and wonderful about the person that you lost? And let us see them and feel them on the page, you know, recreate them, please, for us. And then to really, you know, whether you knew the person who died or didn't, like, encourage the grieving person to talk about what they loved about that person, to, you know, let them really wallow in that and let them, or not wallow is wrong.
Yeah,
but, you know,
yeah, really, bask.
Yeah, and really be with, you know, how all the things. I mean, maybe the difficult things about them too. You know, just the reality of that person. Mm-hmm. To talk about them.
That is so beautiful.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, really? Wow.
There's so much wisdom in that. Mm-hmm. There's so much wisdom in that. Tell me about them.
Yeah.
Tell me about, right.
Yeah. And even if it is somebody that you knew, you know, you could say, well, how did you meet? Or, you know, just more about, you know, tell me the parts about your relationship that I didn't know or that I might not know.
So sweet.
I've led workshops, and I just want to throw this in because people listening know all about the love list. But so I've led workshops where we create love lists for someone who has died.
Right.
And it's a beautiful way to share, you know, so that just to tag on to what you're saying, you know, to even do that process with someone where you're, you know, intentionally making a love list and then sharing it with other people that know that. Hi, Jackson. Did you want to bring, we now have a beautiful cat.
And I'm just heads up, you might get too interested in your embroidery thread, so I'm just
keeping an eye. Just noticed that.
Because there's lots of cool things to snag there. Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Allie. I love that. And I just, did you want to add any more to that?
I don't think there's anything better than that. Well, okay, the one thing I'll add is that if you're one-on-one with that person, the most profound thing that happened to me was that I remember... I was talking to a woman on Zoom. We hadn't actually met before, but she had also lost a child. And she asked me the name just to say his name.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, see how it still makes me cry? And then she just lit a candle. Yeah. And she said his name into the candle. And she just said, it'll burn all day. And it was so beautiful and honoring. She just said his name. And lit a light. And then sat with me. It was, there was nothing more powerful than that.
Oh, Rosemary.
Yeah. So, I think sometimes no words can really help. But just that one little ritualistic action went a long way.
I love you guys both. Like, what two beautiful, beautiful ideas for people to do. You know, and then the last thing, because I know we're almost at our time, but for someone who themselves is feeling, you know, maybe right now you're listening to this and you're feeling alone in grief, you're feeling like, you know, you need some support. What do you do when you need, you know, when you're feeling like, gosh, I just really need someone to be here? How do you ask for that?
If you're lucky enough to have people that you can trust, you go to, and I think if, yeah, to well, just like what you said, to ask or to say, I need, and that's a hard thing
to
do.
It's a hard thing.
It's hard to say that. I mean, to say I need, and to say what kind of support you need, you know, I need spacious listening rather than advice. That's a hard thing to say.
That was beautiful what you just said, though. And I think that was, thank you, Allie, because it's a really important piece, is to be able to really, like, let people know, because we all, like, we want to jump in. This is another thing, right? You want to help.
And that's
but
so not helpful.
That's a great thing, right. to find that friend or, you know, as I was talking about yesterday in this grief group, it may not always be a friend. It might be a grief group, or it might be some support system that is set up that you don't even know anybody and you find it online, but that there are people who understand and you could say, I just need to talk.
Right.
Not be given advice.
I think advice is not good.
Ever.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Or to go away from people. I don't know. I think also just going outside alone can often be more powerful than any conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, what you need in the moment is what you need, and maybe you know I need someone to talk to, but often what I really needed was to go outside and just feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Rosemary. Gosh, I thank you. You know, I'm seeing, you know, and this is why I love being in conversation, right? Because it's like we get to see even more. Like for me, I'm just seeing that it's like, you know, I'm often talking about, you know, appreciating life and celebrating life and celebrating ourselves. And to me, grief is not outside of that, you know? And even though we're here and we're having, this isn't like a really light conversation, but I feel so connected to both of you. And, you know, and I feel connected to you listening. And it connects me to my humanness, which is a really big deal. I mean, when we talk about celebrating life, it's all of it. And this is a part of it. And so I'm super grateful to both of you for being here and listening. And I'm grateful to you listening. And yeah, anything else before we go?
What a great impulse, Sherry, to have that conversation right now.
Yes, say good it now. Job, sweetie.
Great job.
Yes, good job.
Way to catch the moment.
Beautiful job.
Oh, I love you guys. Well, it is. It's true, though, and I'm just leaving. I know it's a totally different topic, but I think it's so important to follow what's calling to us. It's a part of it. I love you both. I love you. Bye.